at the end of the day, we gotta talk about shit. If you don't talk about the shit, you won't get through the shit. Thou must cope.
What would you say a ride or die, I say that in air quotations, is in your own words?
A ride or die to me is someone who will go to the end and back for a person that they respect, love, and have loyalty for. That's what I consider a ride or die. Someone who don't have a limit for the next person.
Okay, so that's a very good point. When you said a limit, to me, that made all of the difference. Because do you think that, like, I mean, I guess you're saying no, but do you think that there can be a limit on riding? Like, is it like, okay, now we can go real far, but that right there, that's too far? Or it's like, nah, you're not a rider there?
I think you can be a ride or die, but you got to have limits. Limits is like boundaries. If you don't, people will take advantage of them. They'll go above and beyond, and they'll just keep going and going and going until they break you.
I definitely agree. You're correct. And I will put it as the same exact thing, boundaries. Because what people will do is people will know that, you know, there's a lot that you'll do for them, and they'll take that and use it to their advantage because they know how far you'll go. So sometimes you do definitely have to set those boundaries. And so with that being said, that makes me want to ask, and for you, when you're in like this ride or die mode, the people that you'll ride or die for, does the limits or the boundaries change for a friend versus like a significant other?
Well, I think that when it comes to people in general, it shouldn't be a significant other, or it shouldn't be a friend or a family member. I just think that it should go according to the person, because a significant other can dog you out. A best friend can dog you out. A brother, sister, grandma, auntie can dog you out. So I think it goes according to the person and how they treat you and what they will do and won't do for you. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep. I definitely do. And, you know, you just really changed my perspective, because literally before right then, I would have said that my riding for my friends were different from my significant other. And not even per se that I'm going to just ride, like, if we could put it on a scale of riding and dying, not like I'm going to do number 10 for one and 8 for the other, but just more so there are certain things like, I probably will be willing to go a little bit further for my significant other. But when you put it that way, that's a very good point, because like I have a best friend. So I'm going to go a lot further for my best friend than I would for my significant other off the strength of our relationship, like literally. But it's literally going to depend on each relationship, because I could have another close friend that I'm really close with, but that don't mean that it's going to be the same type of levels as my best friend because of certain things that we've gone through, you know, loyalty and what they've done for me. Like all of that to me changes things too, because if y'all been through a little more, you know, your level of how far you will go might be a little further than for those that it's like, you know, we just had a little cute friendship and we just been cool for a long time.
And you're right. And that can possibly be. But, you know, I've been friends with someone for many, many, many years. And let me tell you, I'm more of a friend than that person is to me. So that's why I said it just depends on the person. Because your boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever might be there thick and thin, and you might not be there half as much as they are there for you. You know what I mean? So it's like you gotta know who you're dealing with when you're dealing with people, because I had a habit of saying, oh, that's my friend. And here it is. She wasn't really my friend. She wasn't my friend, but she wasn't my friend the way I thought she was my friend. And we can be blinded because we see them as that's my friend. And then people on the outside see what you don't see. So you have to learn to pay attention to people at all costs, at all directions, and all angles, and everything. You know what I mean? You got to, sometimes it's sad to say this, but sometimes you got to test your friends. Sometimes you got to see if my friend's really gonna be there for me, if my friend really got my back, is my friend really a good person, not a shady character? Let me, you know, sometimes you gotta throw a little something in the game just to see where they at. It's a shame that you have to do that, but in today's world, people change so fast and so fast and so quick and so in a hurry. Like, it's ridiculous. So, you know, I just feel like when it comes down to it, I just learned that me, I'm 44, so I've seen and I learned a lot of things in a long, long, I mean, in a hard way. And I had to find out on a hard way. And I learned that everybody ain't who they say they are, and everybody ain't what they seem to be neither.
And that's a word. That's a word. And the funny thing about that is I had a friend who got in some legal trouble. And it wasn't until they got in legal trouble where I found out how much of a friend that I was to them and how far I would be willing to go. And it was a lot further than I thought. And not even that I per se got involved, but the amount of stress that it had me in, the things that I was willing to sacrifice and all of that just to make sure they were good, it really tested me. Because I would have never thought that I would have been in that position. Because I've always been a person that's like, you know, you can do stupid by yourself on whatever. I'll talk to you about it in private. I'm not gonna play you in public, but whatever you get in, if you continue to be in stupidity, that don't have nothing to do with me. But then when it came down to it, it was like, hell nah, that's my fucking friend. Like, I got you. I don't condone this. We're gonna have a real ass conversation about it, but I'm gonna do whatever I gotta do to make sure you good at the end of the day. And I actually never thought that I would have been in that position and I would have been as involved as I was, even like going to court and everything just for support. And it was like, you know, it seems like something where it's like, duh, it's not even that deep. Why wouldn't you do that? But when it come down to it, a lot of people won't even do those type of things. They know where to be found.
They won't, girl. They won't even scratch your back, girl. Complain with me. I got stories for days. Let me tell you now. And those be the first ones that you would think that would be right there beside you. Even if something small, the friend that you would ride for all day long, and you call that friend and be like, listen, I need $300. I'll give it back to you on Tuesday. It's now Sunday. 2 days from now, I'll give it back to you. And they be like, no, I don't got it. I gotta go get my hair done and my nails done.
Yep.
That makes you think about that friend. Because if your hair and getting your nails done is more important than helping your friend get out of a situation, then that says what our relationship is. Do you expect people to go above and beyond for you? Yeah, of course. If I call you my friend or my significant other or my brother or my sister, yeah, I expect that from you because I do it for you. But my problem, where I had to learn was everybody's not me. And everybody's not going to go above and beyond it. Everybody's not going to take their last and give to their friend because their friend's in a situation. But I really want to get this outfit, but my friend needs this 500. So should I give my 500 to my friend or should I get that outfit? You know, me, I'm the friend here. I'll get the outfit later. You in trouble. You need to pay a bill here. Let me give it to you. It just, it's small things like that to make you reevaluate your relationship with your friends and your families and stuff. Because when I need you to be there. And it might not be specifically money-wise. You might just need the vent. You might just need a shoulder. You might just need someone just to be in your face. I might just need you just to sit there and make me smile. It's small things. It's never always money. It's the momentary things that really matter sometimes. And sometimes you need to know that person that's going to be there for you for the bigger things and also for the smaller things, for the minute and for the large. And sometimes some people don't look at it like that. They don't look for the minute things. They always look at, oh, well, you know, she's there. But no, if you really needed her to be there and she's laid up with her boyfriend at 2, 3 in the morning and you was really going through something, would she get up and leave her man to come be with you? If you really needed her at one point because your rent is 500, your car note 500, your car and your insurance is 300, but you're short 300. And she knows she's, you know, her every 2 week routine, and you know she's about to go blow 300 getting her hair done, her nails done. Would you think she's gonna stop and say, "Here, let me go get this to my friend"? It's the things that you, it's the small things that you have to look at, and that's what I look at, and that's what I consider if I'm going to ride or die for somebody. That's how I consider. That's how I contemplate. Be like, let me see how far this person will go for me. And that's what I look at, and that's what I examine.
I'm the same exact way. I've actually tested somebody before. I asked them for money that I didn't need just to see if they would give it to me, like $50. And I'm like, hey, look, I'm about to be behind on my rent. It was like, I really just need $50. I'm not gonna be able to give it to you for 2 weeks though, or whatever. But now I will say I knew their financial situation, so I knew that they had it or whatever. And she was just like, yeah, girl, I got you. I'll cash app you. Then I was just like, nah, I'm good or whatever. Thank you, though. I figured it out or whatever, just to see what would be said, because it really hurts to be a person that you will go above and beyond for somebody and then find out that they won't even do the smallest thing for you, like just sacrifice, like you're saying. If that's my routine to get my hair and my nails done, as much as I would want to get my hair and my nails done, if it keeps you in your house, if it keeps you out of the jail, whatever, for this little bit, my hair and my nails will just not be done. Because there might be a
Right.
time where I'm gonna need you the same exact way, and I would hope that you would have me in the same exact fashion.
Same exact way. There it go.
Definitely, I definitely feel you there, and you ain't saying nothing but a word. So with that being said, as far as like for those people that you know that you got that relationship with, versus those people that it's like y'all are friends, but you're more of a friend than they are to you, what would be your stipulations? Like, if you could give an example, what might you do for the person where it's like, I got your back through everything, you got mine, versus the person that it's like, we friends, but really I'm your friend.
I'm gonna give you a small, quick story. I moved down here with my best friend slash sister. And when I was back before we even got in trouble, anyways, long story short, everybody's like, that ain't your friend. You keep on acting like that. She's not your friend. You're more of her friend than she is to you. And I never listened to people because I couldn't see her wrongs, because I didn't see her flaws with me. To me, that was my best friend, and y'all can't make me see nothing other than that's my best friend. And then when we got in trouble, and when the police came, when they questioned me, they didn't really want me. They wanted her. But they knew me and her were thicker than thieves, and they knew that we hung together, and they knew that we did daily routines together. They knew it. They watched us. So when they came to me, they wanted me to tell them on her. And I would not tell on my friend because that's my friend. And if I have to go to jail, then so be it. But I'm not telling y'all something that y'all just got done telling me. Y'all was watching me for 18 months. So you already know what the deal is. So I don't need to tell you nothing. All right. Let's go past. Let's forward. She gets out of prison. I'm out of prison. She asked me to move here to Maryland. I move here to Maryland. This is when I start seeing what other people was telling me. When she called me, she's like, come down here. No, let me rewind that a little bit. When I first came down here, it was April 2014. Came down here because she had found out she had breast cancer, stage 3 breast cancer, and she had the chemo, whatever, and then she had to get the surgery. So I came down here as a best friend, and I stayed a whole month from April to May. I came a whole month and I stayed with her. I washed her up. I cried with her. I prayed with her. I talked with her. I was there. I took in, I cleaned her house. I cooked her children food. I did it all because that's what friends do. You don't ask questions, you just jump in. So now we're going fast forward. I moved down here December the 14th because she like, you just moved down here. Your kids is grown. You need somewhere to come. Come down here. I came down here and she said, I got you a job. I get here. I don't got no room. I'm sleeping on the couch. She's working from 7 in the morning to 1 in the morning. She really needs me there to babysit the kids because that's what she really needed me for. So instead of her just saying, Jerry, can you watch the kids for me? Help me with the kids because I work all these hours and I'll pay you to watch the kids. She didn't. She just springs this on me like goes to work every day and then they start going into calling. Let me, because she knows I'm gonna do it. Let me call her. Can you make sure the kids get up for school? Can you make sure that they went from that to, can you take them to the doctor's appointments? Can you get them back in school? The police, they getting in trouble. They calling me to go get them from police stations and stuff because they can't call her. I'm sitting there and I'm mothering your children, but when your daughter called me out my name and I told you about it and the way you handled it, I didn't like it. So I went to her and I told her, I said, listen, I'm going to leave because I don't want to fall out with you about your children. So I left. And when I left, I didn't hear nothing else from her for 2.5 years.
Wow.
We know we text off and on, but it was never really like it was. I need her again. Because me and my roommate that I'm staying with, we fall out. And I go back to stay with her. She charging me $600 in rent now. She know I got a job. Now she charging me $600 in rent. So I say to her, I can't afford it. Come January, they getting ready to garnish my checks. I ain't gonna be able to afford the 600. Do you know this is a friend of 30 something years? This is the friend that I went to jail with. This is the friend that grew. This is the friend that I thought was my friend. And the whole time I'm down here, she showed me she's not my friend. And when I told her in January they're going to garnish my checks and I ain't gonna be able to give you 600, I'll be able to give you three something. Do you know she still wanted her $600?
Wow. That's so crazy. And y'all done went to jail together and everything. Like,
I
you
done
ain't.
fed the kids.
You was her whole nanny. Unpaid.
Mind you, this is before we went to jail. Before we went to jail, everybody took care of your kids. Everybody had your kids back. Taking your kids to the doctor's appointment because you want house arrest because you're in trouble. Your daughter need to go to the hospital and you call me at 2, 3 in the morning. I get up out of my bed and come take your daughter to the emergency room because you can't take her. I take my nieces and my nephews because that's what I call them to daycare and school and pick them up because you're too busy ripping and running. You ain't got time for them. And the thanks I get is what you give me. And then she dogged me out talking about me behind my back to all these people. Now everybody want to come calling me now, like so want to come tell me everything she's saying about me. But before y'all all was riding with her, but now y'all starting to see her for who she is. So now y'all want to come tell me like, yo, she be. I don't want to hear about it. But that's just an example on how friends. How you could be more of a friend to somebody than they are to you, the more than you thought they were to you. And then when you said, like you said, when something happens is when you find out how much of a friend they weren't to you.
That's crazy as hell. Like, even to know, like, you know, your loyalty run deep, they come to you for information. You like, no, I'm not talking about, I'm not doing anything on my friend. Y'all could take me to jail, whatever. Because whatever your involvement was, whatever. Y'all say y'all got information, y'all got it. And then it's like, with all of that, you know, I'm over there parenting your child, being a second mother to your children, making sure they're good. You really use me for me to come over here and take care of your kids. And I was just like, okay, that's fine. And then when I needed you, and I'm just like, hey, look, this is what I will have. You like, oh no, and you can treat me off a little bitch off. You can treat me like a little bitch off the street. Are y'all friends now?
So let me just tell you about that part. This is where the boundaries come in at. This is when limitations come in at. So I can't just turn her off because I love her. We got history. We got over 30 years history with each other. So you just can't turn them off. I don't want to jail. You, my kids call you auntie. You can't just do that. So then I set limitations and I set boundaries. Now I won't go above and beyond. Now I go just as far as you go for me. I do just as much as you do for me. There's no more coming and helping you out. When you got a house full of kids and they ain't listening and you need somebody to help regulate your house. No, I won't be that no more. I won't be that, oh, can you go with me and do this, do this, do this, because you don't got nobody. No. You set your limits. Now you have your boundaries. Now you be like, I know what I'm dealing with. It's like five friends. You got five friends, and all your friends you can't treat alike because all five of them are different. So you know you can't tell Angie anything because she run her mouth. But you know you can tell Vera all your life everything. You know you can't tell Stephanie. You know Stephanie, you can't bring your man around her because she'll try him. You know what I'm saying? You know that Tamika over here, she's really the all around friend. You can tell her anything. Bring your man around. She is the one. She's the best of the best friends. It's like knowing who you're dealing with, and once you learn what you're dealing with, then you deal with them accordingly. And that's how I deal with her now, accordingly.
That makes sense, and I definitely get that. And you know, I've always been a person. I'm not as old as you are, though. I'm only 25. I'll be 26 in May, so it might definitely change once I get older. But I've always been a person to say, like, fuck that. History don't mean shit. If they doing you dirty, they doing you dirty. But when you have that level of involvement, I could definitely understand not just cutting it off completely and saying, okay, well, this is where I'll draw the line for my peace and my sanity. We can still be cool, but I'm no longer willing to go this far like I was for you. And to an extent, I would treat you how you treat me. You know, if you're going to go that far, I got it. But if not, this is where we'll stand, kind of allowing them to make the parameters for your relationship, really.
Right.
So, like, when it came down to y'all going to jail, did she have the same loyalty for you as you had for her? Like, were y'all involvement the same?
Well, not. I'm sorry. You know, when people's back are against the wall and they know that you got their life in their hands, they're going to do what they got to do is right. She wouldn't do that to us, because doing that to us means she's doing that to herself. Because if I tell on her, there's five of us. There was five females that went to jail. So if you would have told on us, your back would have been against the wall and you'd still be sitting in there. So it wasn't that, it's not that, it, you know, my, even right now, I'm not going to say she's a bad person. I'm going to just tell you this. When you get a friend that's scared by money and money is their only objection, they're nobody's friend. Does that make sense?
Yes.
She's one of them friends who's scared by money. Money is her objective. Money is her focus. Money is her everyday thing. She goes to bed thinking about it. She wakes up thinking about it. She's always trying to figure out a way how to make money. That's her. She's a hustler. So her mind is not on, oh, that's my friend. I can't use my friend for those purposes. Her mind is on, if I can get you to do what I need you to do for my purpose, then I'm going to use you. That's what she does.
You know what? That's something that I have to take to someone, because I know someone that deals with someone that's like that. And I could never put it in that type of way, but you're right. People who are like fueled by money, they have no limits. They'll do whatever, because it's all about them getting what they want. And they can say that they got this loyalty, call you bro, call you sis, fam, and all of this. Sometimes even give you a little something. But when it come down to it, they will do whatever the fuck they got to do, even if that means fucking you over so they can get what it is that they want.
Ooh, baby girl, preach. And let me tell you something. They don't never do nothing for you for free. Never do nothing for you for free. There's nothing they do for you I'm going to do this for you. Because I'm going to tell you, that's what she did. Once she realized that she was wrong, she went and co-signed for me to get a car. I ain't asked her to do this. She did that on her own. But that was for later on down the line. Like, people that's motivated by money and money is their only desire, trust me, they don't never do nothing for you just because. You're going to pay for it one way or another. If they went and bought you a $10,000 bracelet, you're going to pay for that $10,000 bracelet one way or another, whether you use your time, whether they get you to run it. You're going to pay for it some way, somehow.
Damn. That shit is so crazy. Because I know someone that is just like this. And it's so disgusting to me. And I could never understand it because I'm not one of those people. Or whatever. But I was just like, damn, it's just like they'll go to drastic measures to get that shit. And I can never get it, because I'm like, I mean, I assume that they love these people, but the way they be acting, it's like it just don't click here that they're fucking over people that will go to war for them, all for the sake of money or clothes, whatever. What, all for the sake of what is it called? Not tangible things, material things. And it's just, it's so crazy. It might be mental illness, to be honest, because it's something that's not there. It's kind of like, you know, like sociopaths and psychopaths. It's kind of, to me, in that type of range where it's like, damn, like all feelings, empathy, sympathy, all of that is just gone.
And those is the people. This is one of your topics of a ride of, this is an example of a ride or die person, a person that will go the limits for people like that. I was riding out for her. Cause that was my best friend. There was no limits. Oh, there ain't no limits to this. That's my best friend. And the limits had to get cut. The boundaries had to get set in place. And I had to recognize that everybody ain't who they say they are, and everybody ain't got you the way you think they got you. And the best thing that anybody can do in life is to have themselves. And know that they got themselves. And know that if anybody come along and they're asking to add, it's just nothing but an add. That's it. That's all. Because everything else I got under control. Only thing you're doing is add. And I'm at a point now, if you can't help me elevate, then there's no point.
And that's exactly where I am. If you can't benefit my life in some way, we don't have nothing to talk about. And people think it's so fucked up, but it's like, it's not about... Some people take up just a one-way thing, like, oh, you just want to vent all the time, or oh, you want them to be able to be there financially. That's not even what it is. It's just, I know what I have to offer for people and what I would do for people. So for the sake of my own peace and sanity, I got to make sure that you can do the same thing for me. So if you can't benefit me in some kind of way, like you said, with the five different friends, not all friends have the same thing to offer. You might have that one all-around friend, but one person, they might be the person like, okay, if it's about budgeting, it's about real estate or whatever, come to them when it's a business need. This person, they know everything about relationships, got the best advice. This person, oh, if you just need to vent, they non-judgmental, yada, yada, yada. It's the same way. You might not be able to be there for me in a financial way, but I might need you there for me if I ever need to vent. If I ever just need to let a load off and just get some advice, you know, but you got to be able to benefit in some way. We're not just about to sit here and just let you eat the benefits up for me and I'm not getting anything in return. And when you really sit and assess, you will realize like there are a lot of people that just because y'all cool, y'all might not have fell out. They just sitting here taking up space. There ain't no benefit. It's just a he or whatever. But besides that, they're adding nothing to your life. They're not elevating you. They're not helping you to be a better you. They're not checking you, because sometimes you need a friend to check you too, to let you know like, nah, that ain't the way to move, or you ain't doing that correctly, or maybe you should look at it this way, you know?
And honey, you got to pay attention to them jealous friends.
Ooh, yeah.
And people be like, how you know they're jealous? Because them and the people is never going to congratulate you. Anything that you try to do to elevate yourself or go higher, they're going to be like, oh, I'm happy, but they really not happy.
Be bitter. Just envious. I had a friend. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Pay attention to the jealousy in people. I say this with a sincere heart, because people be like, what do I got to be jealous? Some people are not jealous of who you are. I mean, of what you got. They're jealous of who you are because they're not you. And they're not you like you as a person. They don't have the confidence that you have. Mm-hmm. They don't have the courage that you have. They don't have the motivation that you have, and they're jealous of that. Because they want to have the same thing. So are they happy for you? They might be, but deep down inside, they really not. On the outside, oh, hey. But deep down inside, they really not, because they secretly wishing it's them that has that motivation, that has that drive, that has that encouragement that they have, that has that confidence, that has that push, that has that drive. They wish it's them. And that's what I try to tell my daughter and my son. My daughter is 28 and my son is 29. And I tell my kids all the time, pay attention to the friends who always act like they happy, but for real they not. And then my son will say, Mom, how do you know? Because they never really congratulate you. They never really encourage you to go on. They'll always find a reason why you shouldn't do it. They'll always find a reason why there's something wrong with it. They'll always find the reason, a negative. They're never going to have a positive. And if they do have a positive, you got to watch how they act once they give you the positive. Watch action, because I'm going to tell you something. Body language tells it all. Face, body language, it all. Hell was coming out their mouth. Watch them as a person. And that's why to this day, young lady, I'm by myself. I don't hang with nobody. I don't kick it with nobody. I'm by myself because I don't trust people, because people really are not genuinely happy for you. They only happy because they're counting and praying on your downfall and not your success.
And you're so right. I literally had a friend that just she just celebrated her birthday, and I wanted to be there with her, but I couldn't. That's neither here nor there. But it was a group trip, and it turned to be a little sour at some point because some people started making some nasty remarks at her or whatever. And I was just like, how did that happen? Like, these are people, you know, just your close people. She was celebrating for her birthday, but for me, knowing what she's been through in the last couple of years, like just personally, and then also with getting her confidence back because she had a child and she gained a lot of weight. Well, she's had her second child and gained a lot of weight and everything. And so now she's where she wants to be. She's gotten to the shape that she wants to be or the weight that she wants to be. She got a new job. She just got a raise and she is doing the darn thing. Like, I am so happy for her. And so, like, her thing this year has just been like, y'all, we some bad bitches. Like, I don't care if you're not where you want to be. It don't matter. Stay confident, stay boosted, just let it motivate you. Like, we some bad bitches. I'm a bad bitch. You a bad bitch. And that's just been her thing. And so, like, somebody ended up basically telling her that she was on her high horse. And I was so confused because I was just like, you know, I know her. And I know one thing about her. Like, although she might have her head in the clouds, it's literally from a place of, it took me so long to get here and I'm fucking here. But she never will bring nobody down just because of where she at. You might not be where you want to be, but she gonna uplift you too. And I was just like, yo, I'm pretty sure they're just jealous. And I was like, I know that's supposed to be your friend, but that just shows to me that they're jealous because they use this time for celebration to bring you down. Like, are you fucking kidding me? And then started telling her about what she didn't have. And it was just like, why the fuck would you do some shit like that? But people will really show their ass. And you're right, you definitely have to learn off of like body language and stuff. Cause people can say, like, oh my gosh, congratulations, I'm so happy for you, and not mean shit of it. And be praying on your downfall, ready for some shit to go wrong. You sharing your ideas, and you over here trying to boost them and help them. And low key, like you said, they're jealous of something. It might not be about your money. It could be about your confidence, about your self-esteem, about you just having a good mental health, any of that. And they can literally be envious of that. And it's crazy because, like you said, like, you really can't trust people because these can be people that you've been cool with for years and you would have never known until something happened where you just like, yo, like this whole time you've been on this shiesty ass shit and I've been nothing but good to you. You know, I've been nothing but sincere with you and hoping the best for you and you praying on my downfall. Like, what the fuck did I do to deserve that? But people are crazy. They're fucking crazy. So my next question would be, did your experience going to jail or prison like change who you are today, besides just like not being able to trust people? And if so, how?
Okay, me going to jail. That's a good question, young lady. Me going to jail, and when I tell you this, and people hear this, they're gonna be like, yo, she's crazy. But me going to jail was a good experience. And I say that because I grew up in jail. I became a mother, I became a sister, I became a daughter, I became a cousin, I became a friend. I grew up there. I learned how to be me. It showed me who I was and what I can stand through and what I can withstand and what I can't. It showed me how to have patience. It showed me how to pay attention to people. It showed me how to know what I'm dealing with when I'm dealing with it and how to deal with it when I got to deal with it. I grew up there. Prison grew me up. It didn't make me bitter. It didn't make me angry. It didn't make me upset. It didn't do none of that to me. Actually, it made me grow up there. I was able to grow up there. I had to adjust. My first year and a half, I was angry. I was mad. Like, I ain't never been in trouble before. My first time in trouble, I got 5 years in prison. Woo, I was mad. And then, I got to praying and allowing God to work in me, and He let me know. Because if I would have gave you 1 year, you would have came out doing the same thing. If I would have gave you 2 years, you would have came out doing the same thing. I needed time for you to heal, and I needed time for you to understand what the situation was. And I thank God for that, because I do know if I would have came out in 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, I would have been right back to them streets, because the money was so easy and the money was so fast and it was so plentiful. It was so much, it was plentiful that I would have went right back to the things. So me sitting in there for them four, what was it, 4 years, 8 months, 9 months, I sat there, and then I went to the halfway house, and then I went back to prison for 72 days. They kicked me out the halfway house. But when I came home, I learned to be a mother. I learned that, I wanted to show my kids that just because you fall don't mean you can't get up, don't mean you can't be I wanted to be a catalyst for my children. You know what I mean? It could have went a different way. If I would have came home, went back to the streets, my kids would not have went to college. They would not have graduated with degrees. They would not be doing their own thing that they're doing now. They would have followed me. They would have did what I did, because I would have made that lifestyle look glitz and glamour. I would have made it look like it was the best thing ever, and it really is the horriblest thing ever. So me going to prison was a time, a place for me to grow up and reshape and reform and come home and do what I'm doing now.
That is so beautiful. Oh my gosh. Like, oh my gosh. And you know what? That's a very good point that I don't think that a lot of people look at, religious or not, spiritual or not. Like you're saying, you were angry for like 2 years. So had you got out in those 2 years, it would have been like, forget it, I'm smarter, And so having that time to sit and think and assess and really, like you said, like basically remold yourself was very vital to becoming the person that you are today. When you got out, though, like, because I know people can get institutionalized, was it really hard to adjust and like also adjust to that new you? Because it's like, before you were used to that fast life. So was coming out, although you had a different mindset, would you say it was difficult for you, or were you kind of like, I got this, I'm good?
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh, young lady right there. Now that one right there. When I first came out, that first year, it was okay, because everybody, you first come home, everybody wanna be right there. Everybody right there. Everybody right there. Everybody right there. It's like when you first go to jail, everybody right there, everybody right there, and then all of a sudden people just disappear. When I first came home, that first year was good. Everybody was there. I was good. I ain't had to worry about nothing. Everything was gravy. That second year, going into that second year, I'm like, I ain't gonna tell you no lies. I cried. I used to be so stressed out, so depressed. I used to say, all I gotta do is do this and do that, and I can have 10,000 in a week. all I gotta do is do this and do this. Man, I know in 6 months I could be at like 300,000-400,000 strong. All I gotta do. And I used to cry. Let me tell you, that temptation is the worst temptation ever. It's like craving something bad for you. You know you shouldn't have it, and you want it, and it's in your face. It's like an ex-boyfriend that you really, really love, and you really just want to be with him, but you know it's bad for you. But when you see him, it just burns you because you really want to say you just want to be there, but you can't. It's that feeling, and I used to cry. And I used to cry because I used to be like, you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I had to talk myself out of it. I even tried my hand. I ain't gonna lie to you. I tried my hand 1 or 2 times, but I was so scared that I think, and it wasn't scared of going to jail. I think it was just being scared, period. Just like being like, it wasn't the same. And I said, oh, this ain't for me. And that's when, at that point, when I knew that I would never go back. And that's when I start making changes. That's when I start saying, I got to do something. I got to do something. So let me give you my lasting thing. I went to school to be a paralegal. I said, I got to do something. And I went to school and I became a paralegal. That's what I did. And I said, I have to be a catalyst for my children. I have to show them that life is hard, but you got to get up and you got to keep going. Even when it serves you lemons, you got to keep it going. And I went to school. Was it hard? Absolutely. Did it get on my nerves? Absolutely. But I made it through and I graduated. So I just feel like the whole jail experience coming home was stressful. It was tempting, but I made it through and I'm here. I didn't fall into the trap. I didn't fall into the statistics of, the percentage of black people that go to jail and come home and go back to the streets. I did not become one of those statistics. So that's where I'm at today.
Oh my gosh, I am so happy for you. I am so happy for you. And I really hope that you even sharing that helps someone that either, they in and out or just they're struggling to just stay on the right side. Because although I've never been there, I've seen it happen to so many people. And like you're saying, like it could be like that X or like a drug, even a drug, like literally, people are gonna be like, what? But like Demi Lovato, she is known for overdosing and her addiction and stuff, and she's been very vulnerable about her story. And I was watching her little documentary recently, and she was just saying how it was crazy because she almost she had like a heart attack and all of that and almost died. And literally she was like 2 weeks after she got out of the hospital and stuff, she tried the shit again. She was like, I know it seems crazy because I'm even looking at it like, why the fuck am I doing the same thing that almost killed me? But that temptation was so crazy. And at that moment, she was like, she couldn't fight it. And so I feel like it's so similar because it's like, I know the repercussions. I know this isn't what I want to do, but I also know the benefits. Like, what the hell? How do I stay away? But just being able to be strong and get up and move on and create another life for yourself, like, that's really a beautiful thing.
Girlfriend, it was hard, but I made it.
And that is all that matters. And before you go, I do want you to tell I do want you to tell the story that you told like the second time we tried to record about the girl that was in jail
For her
for her
boyfriend?
boyfriend. Yes, because the people need to hear it. It's somebody out there that will get in this situation and I need them to hear it.
All right, y'all. For y'all listening, let me put it like this. For you young ladies out there, you got a man out there in them streets. Do not, I repeat, be his ride or die. If he's in them streets and you got a life for yourself, go make your life for yourself and leave him in them streets. I was in jail with a young lady, and every day I would see her crying. So one day I stopped and I asked her, why are you crying so much? And she was crying because her boyfriend got caught up with some, like, it was like a whole bunch of pounds of marijuana. I can't remember how many pounds, but it was a lot of pounds. It was a federal case. She signed him out bond wise. She got him out of jail. And he left. It was like 2 weeks or 2 days or something like that before it was time to go to court. And he left. He just disappeared. She didn't know where he's at. They ain't seen him, nothing. So because he left, she had to do that time. And it was 10 years. And I don't know if I told you, but she said that when she would call home, this was after 3 years of being in jail, everybody's telling her how they see him again riding around with another female. Mm. Ain't sent her a dollar. No, wrote her a letter. Didn't get to her. No way, no shape, no form. Ain't go to her family and be like, listen, here, put this on her books. Nothing. So for all you young ladies who want that dude because he can go buy you a Gucci or a Burberry or Louis Vuitton, or he can take you on trips and he can do all that, it ain't worth it. You can do all that for yourself. Because I'm going to tell you, I could tell y'all plenty of stories of a lot of females sitting in jail behind their dudes. Another female sitting in jail, true story, sitting in jail. Her and her boyfriend out and about. They get caught up in a car. The car in her name, but he's driving, and it's car, it's his car. She bought it for him, but it's in her name. They found, I think it was, she said it was like a kilo and a half in a car with a gun and some other stuff in the car. And guess what he did? He blamed that on her. She had to take that charge. Even though they knew it wasn't hers, but because it was her car and he was saying it wasn't his, she ended up with that charge, 15 years. Don't trust these dudes. Don't trust them. Don't be, I'm a ride for him. I love him. I got his money. Because all that right there is going to have you in a jail cell or dead. Or dead. One or the two. One or the other. So my suggestion to y'all is, if you got a bright future, if your future look bright for yourself and you got something going on for yourself, don't allow no nigga, no man, nobody to take anything from you that you could have, that you could be a millionaire right now. Don't go to jail or be sitting in a graveyard behind no man. All that ride and die stuff is, that's for the birds. That's for somebody desperate to have somebody to want to be with somebody. And that's my take on it. Y'all stay beautiful, stay up, and stay sweet.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, that is all she wrote. And thank you. That second story. These men so I'm disgusted. But thank you so
Girl,
much.
I can tell you so many stories.
It's just disgusting. And it's like, it's not surprising because, you know, it happens all the time. But it's like, I can very well see how being in that predicament, you don't think that person will do it to you until they do it. But after that, it's too late. Now I'm in prison for 10 years. Shit. Now I'm a convicted felon, you know, like, and he just out here skating off with another girl, just chilling. No money in my books, no nothing. What?
Back to the same stuff he started with, doing the same thing. He don't care that she's sitting in prison. He don't care that she's nothing. You didn't even go get at her family. Be like, listen, tell her I got her when she get out. You ain't say here, he'll go give him, put this money on nothing. You riding around because she already doing a charge. The other girl, that dude, he riding around. He out doing the next, like, and she in jail. Like, I didn't get it. And I was like, you know, the police and the way the feds work is so different than the state. And I want y'all young ladies to understand this. People, anyway, dudes, anybody that's listening to them, I want y'all to understand something. The state and the feds are two different operations. They operate different and they do things differently. In the state, they have to have two or more people to prove you guilty. They have to have two or more people to say, yeah, you are guilty. They need two people to get on the stand and say, yes, that was him. They, in the state, you are innocent until proven guilty. In the federal, once they get you, they got you. They don't need nobody to say nothing. And especially if you take it to trial. Because their definition of whatever is totally different than your definition, okay? Because conspiracy And the Webster Dictionary said when two or more conspire to do a something. But the federal government's definition, the definition of conspiracy is the fact that you and her are best friends. And I'm telling you what they do. Because you're best friends with somebody. Your friend could be out killing people and you don't even know that he or she's out killing people. And because you guys are friends, you're going to jail with her or with him. Because why? Y'all together and they swear that you know everything. When they interrogated me, that man told me, oh, what about Angel? You doing her best friend? Y'all do that? I said, let me tell you something. I said, do you know everything your wife do when she walk out that door? He said, my wife at work. I said, how you know she ain't not sucking dick? My exact words is what I said to that white man. She could be sucking dick right now. And you talk about she at work. Just because I'm friends with somebody doesn't mean I know with her every movement. That was my point I was making. Just because that's my man and we sleep in the bed every day don't mean I know everything he do once he walk out that door. Told him. Just like when you walk out the door, she don't know if you're running around the corner fucking somebody. She don't know nothing. She just knows that you're getting up and you're going to work because that's what she knows you to do because that's what you told her you're doing. She don't know you can be the East Side killer or the East Side rapist. For she know you're at work. So before you sit here and try to make me be the person who knows what's going on with my friend, I'm going to need you to reevaluate that. That white man couldn't stand me after that. That white man was like, get her out of here. Like, straight up. Because the federal government don't give a fuck. The state give you a chance. The federal government don't give a fuck. So for all y'all who want to be out there woo-woo-in and doo-doo-too-in and all that, I'm telling y'all right now, the state is a little bit different than the feds. The feds, they gonna lock you up. You know why? Because 90%, their conviction rate is 99.9%. You know why? Because people do not challenge them in court because they usually have too much evidence to go to court with them. In the state, people challenges because in the state, you have to have so many different protocols that you got to have before you can actually charge somebody with something. So you're innocent until proven guilty. So you got to have a reasonable doubt. You got to have you got to have probable cause. You got to have reasonable doubt. You got to have that's like murder in the state. If you murder somebody in most states, if you don't have the body, they can't convict you. There's no body. They can't convict you on the hearsay. It's crazy. The state is so different than the feds. So I'm just telling y'all from a person who experienced it, do not allow yourself to get caught up in anybody's bullcrap. Because once you go to jail, all them friends, all them boyfriends, all them girlfriends, everybody is going to turn their backs on you. And don't already be a person whose family is not already there for you. Because when you go to jail, you really ain't going to have nobody there for you. Because everybody that says they're going to be there for you, out of them 20 people, only one's going to really be there for you. And the one that's going to be there for you is usually the one who really ain't got nothing but makes a way. So while y'all out here hollering and hooting, shooting guns, killing people, robbing people, doing all that stuff, I'm talking to these young men. Y'all out here doing all that stuff, I need y'all to think twice because when your ass is in a graveyard or when you're setting your ass in a jail cell, ain't none of your friends going to come to your rescue. Matter of fact, they're going to be on that stand telling on you. Matter of fact, they in that DA's office giving up tape right now because they not fitting to go to jail behind you. So I'm telling y'all now, think twice. Find another way to move around in life. Find another way to motivate you. Find a way to get you some money. Find a way to bring all of y'all hanging groups. All y'all group get together. Put your money together. Build a business. Get some type of revenue up underneath you. Put your money in stocks. Learn something. Do something positive with yourself. Don't be in them streets because the streets ain't real. That shit's a lie. Them streets is a lie. That shit's fake. That shit them rappers be talking about, that shit's fake. That shit them niggas be talking about, that shit's fake. That shit ain't real. It's all part of an illusion that people make for themselves. It ain't real. Let me tell you, a famous rapper said, nigga, don't believe that song. That nigga is wrong. Gangsters don't live that long. Don't no gangster live that long. Them streets is for the birds. So my advice to you guys is get yourself together. Do what you got to do. Find the financial wealth to put your money into. Build. Get your sisters and your brothers together and let's come together as black people and build on top of Bill and put these white people out of here. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to my Ghetto Talk Therapy. Let me just say, the math ain't mathin'. How I got 1,000 listeners, majority of which listen on Apple Podcasts, and less than 50 reviews. Y'all ain't loyal? Nah, but for real, go rate my podcast and leave a review. It truly keeps me going.